this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are searching for truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez welcoming you back to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Yes, The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes Mission, the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and of course is brought to you exclusively by the good folks at the Apostles' Net. Apostolic Evangelism for an expanding, changing, and electronic universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. I know, I get carried away at that portion. How many attributes can we give to our universe? It used to be the world, you know? Now we're talking about the universe. It is expanding, it is changing, and definitely it is electronic. And in fact, we're going to be talking a little bit more about that because we're up against a very special anniversary, an anniversary which really began with a tragedy 20 years ago, an earthquake which not only shook Armenia, but actually the world. It is truly amazing, and we're going to be talking about it a little bit later because it became the stepping stone from which we, or the platform, let's say, from which we began these podcasts and this entire electronic ministry. So we'll be talking about that towards the end of today's podcast. I have so much more to share with you. Want to talk a little bit about that sensation called twilight. And of course, you could sense the excitement in my voice, and why not? We were featured on iTunes, and we had the record number of downloads this week, so we want to welcome all the new people who are listening to us this week. Yes, it is exciting times for The Next Step. And of course, right now, we are in the midst of the Christmas season. Oh, yes, and it's all around us. You see the beautiful trees, the holiday signs. In fact, Susie told me the other day that she actually shook hands with Santa Claus, who was nestled on his perch in the midst of Americana. Yes, a new Disney-esque kind of place where you can spend your Christmas dollars to boost the economy. Oh, man, there is so much to talk about today. Well, the Christmas season is upon us. Everywhere you look, you see Christ's name being thrown around. Christmas! And of course, it is a holiday season. So you could throw in all kinds of things by saying holiday. You could also remember Hanukkah, and you could remember Kwanzaa. And for, of course, Christians, there's this battle of, like, what do we call it? Are you ready to call it Happy Holidays? Do you call it Christmas? Actually, Armenians kind of, like, have a cool name for it. They could say Donagan. When Donagan means holiday, I mean, it's right there. But of course, today there's these political questions of, is it Christmas? Is it okay to impose Christ on somebody else? And, you know, let's let people deal with these. I've had enough of this. I think it is just one of the most beautiful times of year because there's a crispness in the air. There's an excitement. People have some different energy to share with one another. And of course, it is a difficult time of year, especially this year, because of the global economy, because of difficulties taking place throughout the world, and people having a difficult time spending that money that they would like to spend. I always say that, you know, you can't get upset about the commercialization of Christmas if you're in a capitalist society, because after all, that's what sells. You know, you talk about Jesus Christ being the Son of God, coming here and giving life. Well, what does the economy do? The economy gives life to people. And so in a sense, when people are spending, they are promoting that life in a different way. Of course, materially. And when we talk about it here on this podcast, I always want to give us that spiritual dimension. But don't forget that we do live in a political world, and we are governed by the economic principles of that world. And in a sense, when you look at the economy of the world and Christmas spending, New Year's spending, holiday spending, whatever you want to call it, because I know in other countries it's not necessarily around the 25th, it's around New Year's, but still there is a surge of money going into the economy. It does bolster it, and it does give you an opportunity to live differently. This Christmas season, we basically started off with these podcasts talking about Advent. And I did make you a promise last week. I said, if you follow along in the Advent program and these podcasts, when we get to Christmas, when we say Christ has been revealed and born among us, that message, Merry Christmas, will have a completely new meaning for you. And I will stick to my promise. But no sooner had we said that last week than we heard the news coming out of India and this incredible tragedy, again, terrorism, and we started focusing in on there. And then as we were sifting through some of the news stories coming out, it became apparent and evident that this was just part of the regular life and cycles that people in India go through. And why had this one caught our attention? Well, because there were, to put it bluntly, there were non-Indian deaths. There were American deaths. And now the focus changed. All of a sudden, we're concerned about what's going on. We're concerned about this brand of terrorism. I mean, it goes to show once again of how ethnocentric we are, of how we really don't buy into this globalized world that we're talking about, globalized society. We talk a good talk, but many times we fail to see that we're part of a bigger picture. That it's just not America and the rest of the world, but we are all interconnected. And it's so important to really get our sights straight. I've mentioned this before about Iraq. I mean, with everything going on, do we realize that there is still a war going on in Iraq? And we talk about 5,000 people dying in Iraq. You're talking about American soldiers. What about the 100,000 Iraqis that are dead? I mean, don't they count? And we need to start breaking down these boundaries, because for God, all wars are civil wars. I need to repeat this over and over, because this is so important for us to understand that if we are to really elevate ourselves into an understanding of the divine, a really walking with God, we cannot put artificial barriers around us. For God, all wars are civil wars. It means that everyone is his child. The Iraqi is just as important as the American. In India, that Indian soul is as important as the American soul, as important as the Jewish soul that was lost. Every soul for God is a special soul. And we need to begin to understand ourselves as part of a bigger picture. That's why earlier when we talk about the electronic world, I went one step ahead and I talked about an electronic universe. Yes, we are part of the universe, because when we talk about ecology, when we're talking about the ecosystem and our impact on that ecosystem, about global warming, we realize that every little step that we take today influences something bigger. And our eyes are just now opening to our influence in the bigger picture we call life. So no sooner had we talked last week about Advent, about preparing for Christmas, than we get this word coming out of India about terrorism, and our focus went over there. And probably a story that went kind of unnoticed. I know it was noticed by, it was more of a sensationalized story. But one that really touched me was the incident that happened at a Walmart. For our listeners that are outside of there, Walmart is one of those big economy places where you can go in and just buy about anything at a discounted price. And on the day after Thanksgiving, we in America have this name for it. It's called Black Friday. Wow. How exciting. Black Friday. Want to spend some money? Black Friday. Okay, anyway, we have this day called Black Friday that everybody gets out there and spends money to boost the economy to get ready for Christmas. And on that morning, Walmart, this huge, huge department store, decided to open its doors at 4 or 5 in the morning. The guard that was at the door, who opened the door, was literally trampled by the mob. Now imagine this. People standing in line. It's bad enough waking up in the middle of the night to spend money. Now standing in line to spend money. And these people trample this man. And they trample him to such a degree that he begins to die. He's dying on the floor. And people are going in hordes. And you got to just stop for a moment and think, what have we built? What kind of society have we built? Terrorism on one side. We've got people that could care less to the degree that they didn't even stop. Here is a guard opening a door and getting trampled to death. Finally, some security came and they tried to revive him, but it was too late. He died. And people continued their shopping routines. Finally, the management of the store decided to close down the store. That kind of makes sense. Somebody dies. Let's close the doors. Let's get people out of there. The people started to complain. They protested. They started shouting. They wanted to come in and spend their money. I mean, think about it, folks. Where are we at today? Where Christmas is defined by this kind of materialism that is unthinkable, let alone unspeakable. Where death is just a common thing that takes place as a result of our spending habits. And in the midst of it, we want to put the name of Christ. You want to put the Prince of Peace in the midst of this event, of the midst of this pandemonium, of this, in the midst of this chaos. I'm very fine just saying happy holidays. I'm very fine. Keep Christ out of it, you know? Because this is not about Christ coming to earth, about reconciliation, about forgiveness of sins, about salvation. This is about making money. And how can we do it to the other person before he does unto us? So that we get the money in our pockets. And we found the formula. Stick Christ's name on it, call it Christmas, and people will spend. You know what? I'm very happy calling this Happy Holidays. Go ahead, buy your gifts, do the gift thing. It's a great thing. Do it. But when you want to talk about Christmas, we need to really focus on what is that purpose. What did Jesus want for Christmas? I mean, like if I went to somebody's birthday party, I mean, the natural thing would be to find out what that person wants for his or her birthday. I mean, what gift am I going to take? I mean, imagine if my friend is into ballet and then I take her a sledgehammer. Or imagine if my friend is into reading and I take him a fishing pole. You know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to give somebody a gift that they have no use for. What did Jesus want for his birthday? He says, by this you will know, by this people will know that you are Christians. And what was that? This? Love. That's what he wanted. I mean, you can't fight it. This is what he wanted. That you learn to love one another. You learn to care for one another. Right now, today, In Los Angeles, where I'm sitting, there are enough homeless people that need help, that need food. Forget about Los Angeles. Look right around you, wherever you're sitting right now, whether you're in Amsterdam, whether you're in Australia, whether you're sitting up in Oregon, you're sitting in New York, whether you're sitting down in Texas, if you're sitting in Mexico, if you're sitting in the European continent, you're in Asia. These are the places that people you have been writing to me from. Okay, look around you. There is enough pain around you for you to say that, okay, let me do something for Christmas. I want to help for Christmas. I want to give Christ a gift. So he's telling me that I need to help other people. Okay, let me start with myself. First and foremost, how about if I reconcile with the people around me? We always talk about the difficult things, right? Oh, Jesus says that you need to love your enemies. There's no way I can't love my enemies. Okay, fine. Don't do that. How about just loving the people around you? How about reconciling with your parents that you haven't talked to, with your children that you're having difficulties with your brother, with your sister? You've had that disagreement about something with your neighbor. How about using this time to go and reconcile and then take it to the next step? How about looking around you and seeing the poverty that is around? Did you know that in 2007, the statistics just came out. It was the highest rate of hunger, and you're going to be surprised, not in third world, here in America. 2008 statistics haven't come out, but you can be guaranteed of it. We're talking about millions. In 2007, I believe it was 30 million people suffered of hunger in America. And think about it all around you. We always look at Africa and we see the drought, we see the famine, we see the problems caused by genocide, by the wars. Okay, look around you first and foremost. Look at the hunger, look at the disease, look at the poverty. Look at the hearts that are so consumed by materialism that they've forgotten that there needs to be some compassion in this world. Look at the issue going on in Iraq, in Darfur, in India, and say that those people over there are my people. Those people are my children. Those people are my brothers and my sisters. By this they will know you are Christian, Jesus says. And that's what he wants for Christmas. Each week of Advent brings us closer to the big message of Christ being revealed and born, of love once again entering our lives. Theophany, the revelation of God, the revelation of love. And so the message for this week of Advent is the one that I gave you. Reconcile, be at peace, come to terms with what is around you, and open your eyes to the bigger picture. In the Armenian Orthodox tradition, the Bible passage which we read came to us from the Gospel of Luke, wherein they talk about this incredible tragedy that has taken place, this tower that has fallen on people, and people asked him, as Jesus, is it because they had sinned that this took place? And many times we think about whether it's an earthquake or whether it's a terrorist attack, these victims, these poor victims who happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, is it because they are sinners? And Jesus emphatically says, no. He says, no, it is not because they were bad people. God doesn't punish you in that way. But he says, unless you repent, unless you turn from your ways, the same fate will happen to you. What does he mean by that? He means that we need to have a change of heart. We can talk about India, about terrorism. We could look at what happened at Walmart, about the stampede. But we need to learn from these things and change our ways of having compassion, of having care for other people. And unless we can have that change of heart, we will fall into the same trap that everyone else does. Herein is the message for this week of Advent. Well, I know many of you have been asking me about this movie and about this Twilight. No, not that Twilight. That's out of a different era, different dimension. We're talking about the new Twilight. There's a new series of books and, of course, a movie that just came out a couple weeks ago. It is a fascinating movie because it is about things that we don't know about. Namely, vampires. You'll hear me calling in your sweet dream. Can't hear your daddy's warning cry. Oh, yes. The undead. I mean, like, is this like a loaded topic or what? And certainly people have been asking about it. I hear enough about it since doing youth ministry. You get a chance to meet with a lot of people. And this is like a really hot topic right now. Actually, the movie itself is a pretty fascinating movie, which has all kinds of good themes in there. There's themes of sacrifice, of discipline, of being able to look beyond yourself and care for another person. The movie itself begins with a line given, dying in the place of someone else. Hey, sounds familiar, huh? Like, you know, it's got its parallels in the Christian world. And we shouldn't be scared of talking about these things, especially about the undead, because the parallel in the Christian church is very evident. I mean, you want to talk about the undead, look around you. What? No. Stop it, Father Voskin. Nope. Let's talk about the undead that we sing about and we chant about in the Armenian Orthodox tradition. In all of Orthodoxy, as well as in Catholicism, there is this idea of bringing the past into play with our today in molding the future. Past, present, future, it all comes together in what? In God, the eternal present. And certainly, we have opportunities in our liturgies to remember the dead. And very nicely, we call them the sleeping, for those who sleep. In Armenian, the word is nunchetzial, the person who is not dead, but is at rest, is sleeping. Get out and get what you can while your mom is at home. The undead. They're not dead. Anyway, before we get into this whole thing about vampires and people writing in and saying, what are you telling us that these vampires are happening in the Armenian church? Well, think about it for a moment. We talk about these people being not dead. In fact, we pray to the saints. We ask for intercession. What does this mean? Of course it means that they are not dead. And this is really the challenge. I mean, we're talking about a religion. Christianity is a religion which emphasizes no death, emphasizes eternal life. It is the foundation of it all, that Christ comes and he handles everything, all of the evil the world has to give, and in fact conquers death. So that the grave is not the end, but it is merely a door, merely a passing point to eternal life. And so you can call it in many ways, but when people talk about vampires and talk about the undead and werewolves and all kinds of things, I mean, what was the whole Frankenstein story about? But to create life again, is it possible? Well, what is it? It's people, the human imagination. And I don't blame this. I think this is a beautiful thing that humans have. But these stories are basically the human imagination trying to give answers to something for which we don't have the answers. I mean, that's all a vampire story is about. That's all Twilight is about. It's a way of answering the question of what happens after this. What happens after this life? And certainly people have had their answers. As Christians, as Orthodoxy has always maintained, the answer is very simple. Jesus gave us the answer through his life. He went right to the doorstep of death, and he beat it. And not only that, he says that if you believe in me, you can do the same thing. You have this opportunity. He says, courage, because in this world you will have difficulties, but the victory is mine. I have overcome this world. In other words, the boundaries that life and death have imposed upon us, the boundaries that even we could even extend it, that the physical world has imposed on us, are breakable. We are able to overcome those boundaries. And Christ gives us the means. The means, you may think, is the resurrection, what takes place on Easter. But it is more than that. It is more than this physical event that takes place. The means is through love. Because love is the one thing that doesn't die. You see, everything in our life, even faith dies. Even hope dies in many people. But love doesn't die. Because love by its very nature is a giving act. And Twilight, this movie that came out, I mean, it just touched the surface of that love, about a man whose love is so intense that it goes beyond life. And then, you know, of course, these vampires who don't die but need to feed off of blood and everything is only secondary to the real message of the need for love. And think about it. In Orthodox tradition, you have Requiem service, which Armenian Church so uniquely calls Hoki Hunkist. And it's a very strange, actually, I don't like the term at all. It means rest for the soul, for the rest of the soul. In very colloquial Armenian, it means the resting of the soul, almost to the point that if you order up one of these services, that soul, if it was being tormented in hell and you petitioned up here on earth, that soul would be taken out and taken right up to heaven thanks to your $25 contribution. Well, it is farthest from the truth that that is what Hoki Hunkist is about. What it is about is reminding ourselves of the importance of a life that has been led in this world. Reminding ourselves that we have an opportunity to learn from that life. When you do Hoki Hunkist for a mother or a father, for a loved one, it is an opportunity for you to be reminded of their lives. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. I remember in the former parish I served at, people would call in a Hoki Hunkist, a Requiem service. They'd call in and request that their loved ones be remembered during the church service, which is great. But they wouldn't show up for the service. It was like that jack-in-the-box mentality. Let's go and say the name to the clown and see if what happens on the other end when we get up to the drive-up window. I mean, this serves absolutely no purpose in the community-building church life. It just doesn't even make sense. But people would get into this idea of like, we have an obligation to remember the past, but don't bother me with the details of really remembering the life. The idea of requiem, of coming down and remembering a life, makes that life alive, not only in heaven, which we are certain of because of our faith, but alive in our lives. That's the meaning of love never dying. When that love continues to the point that you remember those people, that person is remembered not only as a name, but as an entity who touched your life, that love cannot die. And so when we talk about Twilight, a movie, when you talk about science fiction, don't be scared of these things. Use these as opportunities to talk, to reflect, to contemplate about your own life, to contemplate about your own well-being, where you're heading, and opportunities to talk with children, to talk with others about our mortality. Yes, don't show up at a funeral and go out of your head and saying, why did this happen, when you know it's going to happen. Instead, come to terms with it in this lifetime, so that when the doors open to the next lifetime, not only you, but everyone in your life has an understanding that it is merely a part of life. Equal and on par with being born is that experience of passing on to the next life. What's beyond this life? What's beyond the grave? It's given many people opportunities to really stretch their imagination, to really take it to the limit, this beautiful thing that God has given us, the ability to wonder and the ability to seek and dream. For some, it's that light that was there from the beginning. In fact, I'm using that as an opportunity, a transition to today's song called Luisi Masin, About Light, from Gor Mkhitaryan's newest album, Spirit.
Vor kalores bolor intervel Amahakan anhatuitser sais pajamel Guin arants kez havatchuni guineri hande Guin arants kez imastchuni kuir havati pes Ceres, baits makures, adamandi pes, ceravi, lurtizahnes, vosha yumes mes. Gishenerin, batsakaes, baits, ches moranumes, lusnites kov, astridzevov, vorjumes mes.
That was About Light, Luisi Masin, from Gor Mkhitaryan's latest CD called Spirit. And it is just a delightful CD. It is a collection of the new voice of Armenian Orthodoxy, the new voice of the Armenian spirit, exactly true to its name. And I have to emphasize to you, if you really want to bring some Christmas cheer into your life and a Christmas spirit, you got to go to a Christmas concert. And listen to me, I'm not having any problem calling it a Christmas concert, because that's what it's about. December 18th. It's not a holiday concert, it is a Christmas concert. And you'll want to be there, because it is not only Gor Mkhitaryan, it is also Mariam Matosian coming out from the East Coast. You are going to have just an incredible evening of, well, let's say it, the spirit moving people, the spirit talking to the generation today. And I can't tell you how excited I am about this, because we, for the, well, what's it been? It's been like 700-800 years since music like this has been created that talks to the spirit and is really in tune with the spirit of human beings today, truly in the sense of Armenian Orthodoxy. You know, you can order your tickets right now. It's myseat.com, or just go to our website, inhisshoes.org, and find out all the information and make your reservations, because this is the opportunity you will not want to miss this Christmas season. And it's a great way to show your love and spread your love, support for what we're doing over here, and Say Merry Christmas in a very beautiful way, tangible way, to many of your loved ones. Actually, it was very appropriate that we played Gore's music because he was a part of that community that shook 20 years ago. December 7th, 1988 was when the earthquake happened in Armenia, and it really shook not only Armenia but the rest of the world. And that was thanks to a man named Mikhail Gorbachev, who happened to have been in America. Do you remember what I was saying a few minutes ago about how we focus in on things with our ethnocentricity? Otherwise, we wouldn't have noticed India if the Americans hadn't died. Well, in the same way, this happened in Armenia. But because Gorbachev happened to have been in America visiting with then-President Ronald Reagan, the world's attention all of a sudden shifted. Gorbachev had to return to Armenia, and so did the movie cameras, so did the TV cameras, and without a doubt, people saw something that was just unbelievable. People living in homes that were made out of sand, people being buried in collapsed rubble, and saying, why did this happen? Was not a question of questions directed at God this time, but questions directed at a system that would allow sand to replace cement. And all of a sudden here you saw again the greed of human beings. That greed being translated into tragedy. Remember the Bible passage we spoke about a few minutes ago. Was it because of their sin that they died? No, Jesus said, but unless you change your ways, the same will become of you. Our greed is at the bottom of it all. Our greed to be able to have money, wealth, overcomes even the greed of our need to be safe, to create safe environments. And sure enough, we saw that in Armenia. 25 to 50,000 people. I don't know what it ended up, the final count. Not one person should have died. But you've got 25,000 people perishing within a few minutes because of an earthquake that caused all of these buildings to collapse. And at that time, a lot of things happened. And I wanted to share with you a couple stories, which also became the reason why we're doing these podcasts. So go back with me back in time a little bit. No. That's way too far. No. Push it up a little bit more. Okay, that's it. Not exactly, but 1988. Now, I want to take you to a place and time. 1988, December, the place is Silicon Valley, up Northern California. And, you know, this is a time when computers are not very accessible to people. Computer industry was just starting out. I was serving in a parish that happened to be in the middle of what was called the Silicon Valley, paving the road to what we today just take for granted, the entire electronic revolution. And there I was, this priest who wanted to understand what his congregation was doing, and I took a few moments of my time to learn about computers and really self-taught. And I remember my first Apple computer. It was preceded great granddaddy of the Macintosh, Apple Macintosh. This was just an Apple computer, Apple IIc, that Yedeskin Susan had gotten me. And this is 1985, and I remember this hard drive. It was an external hard drive. It was a 5 megabyte hard drive that was about the size of a small overnight bag. Yeah, you heard me right. 5 megabyte. Okay, if you think about it, you have those little thumb drives which have about 1 gigabyte. Okay, that small little thumb drive that you have on your keychains would hold about 200 of these overnight bag size hard drives. And that was sitting on my desk, and this was like the brain of what we were about to do. And we had what was the first electronic bulletin board for an Armenian church community. It was called, it was dedicated to the patron saint, Saint Andrew of our parish in my life. Andrew being the first called disciple, the Nakhaguch in Orthodoxy. And I definitely felt like this was pioneering stuff. We had to dedicate it to somebody who really understood what things were before they happened. And so it had the name St. Andrew Information Network. And here was an opportunity for people to connect, find out what's going on at the church. And sure enough, we had this little bulletin board system, and I'll never forget the first time my friend Harach, who was down in Southern California, him and I, we started exchanging information. And you've got to picture this green screen and these little lit up pixels coming up, and it said HELLOTHISISHRATCH. Hello, this is Harach. Man, you know, the first time that we saw each other's writings on the screen, I mean, we were screaming out. And it was kind of funny because we were talking on the phone at one point and looking at the monitors at the other point. But what we were doing was we were communicating and putting in the infrastructure for what was about to be an Armenian church that was online. And sure enough, on December 6th, we had gotten some information on the radio that there was an earthquake. This terrible tragedy had happened in Armenia. And that night, I was able to dial in to a small little network of friends, and we were able to exchange information. I got onto the AP feed from, I believe it was called Genie, General Electric's server. And by morning, December 7th, California time, I had enough information where we were able to bring in the press and disseminate this information about this tragedy, about this earthquake that had taken place in Armenia. And wouldn't you know it, sure enough, the American people, just an incredible heart in these people. Within a few hours, we had collected something upward of $25,000. And it was just incredible for me to be able to see the love and the devotion in the midst of tragedy, because people came and asked me, you guys are the first Christian nation. How come it just seems like always tragedy falls on you? Yes, and this tragedy, like I said, is not God's doing, because certainly earthquakes happen everywhere. But you don't have 25,000 people dying, but because of the greed of people, because of their willingness to exchange profit for that safety. And sure enough, what happened as a result of that was the eye-opener for me. It was true God working. We may not see where God is all the time, but you definitely see him in what his name is. He is love. God is love. And people who had no concern about Armenia or didn't even know where it was were writing out checks, were sending in donations, were collecting blankets, were collecting equipment, and we were sending equipment out there, I mean, by the truckloads, by the plane loads. And here was this incredible gesture of love. Something for me as a priest, which was the example that I needed to share with other people. And here it is 20 years later, I'm sharing with you. There's absolutely no reason for people to help in this way, but they did. Seeing the tragedy, seeing the despair, seeing the hopelessness, people extending love to other people. And there, God was living. And I want you to just file this away for a few moments, because we know that throughout America, millions were raised. File this away, but about a year later, in our same area, in the Silicon Valley, we had an earthquake, which was called the Loma Prieta quake. This was on October 17th, and I vividly remember it. It was the same magnitude as the Armenian quake. And just a handful of people were injured and passed away. What was the difference was just the structures. But there was quite a bit of devastation to those structures. There were fires all around, and there was one of the bridges, the Bay Bridge, had collapsed, and there was this need for money. And sure enough, I went out there and talked to Armenian people, talked to Armenian churches, talked to Armenians everywhere I could find, sending letters out saying that, you know, a year ago, less than a year ago, America responded to the Armenian earthquake. Is this a way of saying thank you for us to repay? Not, of course, dollar for dollar. Surely the Armenian population was a very small one, or is a small one, comparatively speaking to the American population. But surely there's a gesture that we could do. And sadly, there we were, a year later, barely able to come up with, would you believe, $2,500. $2,500. It was just so sad. And I went to the Archbishop at the time, and I told him that, you know, this was what we were trying to do. And he was gracious enough to match it with funds from the diocese. And we had like a small little amount of $5,000, which I believe I took. It was the city of Capitola out by Santa Cruz. And I went to the mayor and we gave a check to him on behalf of the Armenian people. But it was at that moment that I realized that we as Armenians have to get out of our bubble. We have to get out of our ghetto. And hence was born the idea, the structure for In His Shoes. That if we want to be taken seriously, we need to take others seriously. If we want to live in a global community, we ourselves have to be the citizens of that global community. If we want love, we need to be first and foremost the ambassadors of love. In other words, we need to take our shoes off and put our feet in the shoes of others. And I'll tell you, today, 20 years later, it's a difficult task. It's difficult for us to understand. But whether you're in an Armenian community or not, to get out of your own framework is challenging. And sometimes it's frightening, but it's necessary. That's what In His Shoes is all about. To be able to put your shoes and feel the pain of others. And in so doing, extend a hand to others. Because what is love? What is our responsibility as humans in this life? But to be the complete reflection of God's love. Of God's sacrifice. And so it is a difficult one. It is a difficult challenge. But it is one that we are called to. And it was from this tragedy of the earthquake 20 years ago that began the idea for this Armenian information network. And subsequently, we've gotten on the internet and sane.org. We still retain the rights to that just out of an emotional tie to it. And we've gone in so many different directions, but it all began on that night. Out of this tragedy bloomed so many good things. And I want you to look at your lives too. You see that tragedy befalls everybody, not just sinful people, not just people who have taken tragedy over and over and over. Everyone is susceptible to tragedy. Everybody has their difficulties, but not everybody talks about it and not everybody deals with it in the same way. Because those two tragedies that I explained, one, the Armenian earthquake, and the other one, the Loma Prieta quake, were greeted 1 year later in two separate different ways. The first one, the Armenian earthquake, 1 year later, I remember the despair with which congregations got together and sang requiem masses for these people. And I remember 1 year later, after the Loma Prieta quake, being up in the San Francisco, Northern California area, and remembering the celebrations, not for what they lost, but for the lives that continue to live. It's again, a cup half full or half empty. Now this Sunday, wherever you are, it's December 7th, you say a prayer for the people that passed away, but also say a prayer of thanksgiving that amidst tragedy, you are able to see the love. Whether it's in Armenia, whether it's in the tragic areas over there or in your own life, the challenge is to open your eyes and see that amidst your tragedies, you can find people coming together, people that you wouldn't expect, extending the love of God to someone else. That's the beauty of what we have to celebrate today. And certainly, if you're in Glendale, I tell you, come by. We're going to be together at our church. Gormukhtarian, a survivor of that quake, will be celebrating our Requiem service inside the church right at 11:45, the time of the earthquake. We're going to be getting together, and he's going to be doing some songs as part of our Requiem service, along with singers and prayers. Please join us. We're at 632 West Stocker Street in the middle of Glendale, amidst all the Arminians. I mean, we got it all. Anyway, wherever you are, please say a special prayer for all the people who suffer, and especially for our ability to be able to reach out and to walk in the shoes of others. May God rest the soul of all of those people who were tragically killed. May God open the eyes of the rest of us to see that these things are preventable when we can get our heads out of our pockets and start looking around at what the real needs of this world are. Well, we are at the end of our broadcast, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We had some music from a wide variety of sources. We had Eurythmics in there with Sweet Dreams, and we had Sweet Dreams by Jethro Tull as well. We had some music that was stimulating to the soul, and of course, the main one, the main feature today was that song by Gor Mkhitaryan, which I want to remind you, there's still time, December 18th. Mark your calendars and get on the website, inissues.org. It'll give you all the information about the concert. If you want, just make your reservations right now. It's myseat.com, and you'll be able to pick up some tickets. And really, you know, like I said earlier, it's a way to say thank you and I love you to so many people. Think about giving this as the Christmas gift to the ones you love, because it really is an expression of Christ's love in our lives. And listen, we have a lot of things going on. We invite you to check out our website, inissues.org, and also to get on epostle.net. Put in your email address. Like I said earlier, we were featured on iTunes last week, and I want to thank all the people who joined us ever since, and I hope that it's a journey that you're going to enjoy being with us, whether you're a neophyte, whether you've been disenfranchised from the church, or just searching for some meaning. This is the place to come, because we are taking the next step. And if you don't mind, I'll take advantage of the moment and make a little pitch that if you feel like being a corporate sponsor for the next step, please let us know. Drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. So for Susie, our producer, and for Hia, who is substituting for her brother, Ken, still got a couple weeks, she says. A couple more weeks she's going to be in here across the booth, and I hope that next week we'll be in our new studio and maybe the sound quality and the vibrations will hit you in a different way. But until that time, this is Father Voskin, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.